Good morning, church. Well, I am, it's going to be a great day. As Dan said, it feels like it, really, the Holy Spirit really moved us in the first service, and we jumbled things up a little bit for you guys to maybe make it flow a little bit better and act like we planned it this way, even though we really didn't. God is good. I love seeing orange jerseys. I love seeing Team World Vision represent this morning. If you are new or visiting with us, or maybe you haven't been around Cascade for very long, you might be a little freaked out by the fact that we're going to talk about running a half marathon and training together. Or if maybe you are part of the team already, you might be a little freaked out that training starts tomorrow, and that's crazy. But we are launching our 2018 training season today. And as you saw in the video earlier, water really is life. It is everything. Water is life. And so I wanted to take a couple minutes this morning to share my personal journey with you, offer a bit of a testimony to not only what God has done in my life over the last year, but really what he's done here at Cascade and how awesome it is to be a part of that. And so it actually started a little over a year ago with a lunch. And I went to lunch with Dwayne Dime, and if anybody of you know Dwayne, don't go to lunch with him. He'll convince you to do crazy things. But I went to lunch with Dwayne and Team World Vision Lindsay, or LDR, as some of you know her. She is an amazing presence and an amazing woman, and I'm proud to know her, also proud to share a name with her. She spells it like me, which is not unique, or is unique. So anyway, the three of us sat down for lunch, and we were planning out the 2017 Team World Vision season. And Lindsay reaches her hand across the table, and she looks at me, and she says, "So, are you going to be training with the team?" And that was a solid and very honest, "Nope, I'm not going to be training with the team." And we laugh about it now because, obviously, I'm wearing an orange jersey today. And so I did indeed participate in the half marathon last year. But my journey really hasn't been a simple yes, actually at all wasn't a simple yes. What was really a nope to God, a couple months later, God was working on me and running for clean water and children in Congo was something that I could do, but it was not something that I wanted to do. It wasn't something that I wanted to do. And so the conversation in my head with God went a little bit like this. I can't. I won't. I don't want to. And while I'm saying I can't, I won't, I don't want to, God was saying, his response to me was, "You are. You will. Let's do this." And I honestly feel like that is what he was saying. And it freaked me out. That was not something that I wanted to hear. But in Matthew, God promises that he will go with us when we are on mission with him. And so honestly, you guys, the last year was an amazing journey with God for me in a way that it's hard to explain, but I'm going to try to explain it to you this morning. Because God did not disappoint in 2017. It was a game changer for me. My husband Tom and I trained together, and we felt healthier and happier than we had in a long time. I still hated and hate every single step that I am running. And I actually, if you know me, I think running is an incredibly inefficient use of time. I just think it's so inefficient. But you guys, it was good. It was good. It was good for my body. It was good for my marriage. It was good for my family. The kids were cheering us along and telling us when we should go run when they saw us sitting on the couch. Eli, our little five-year-old, was actually really encouraging through the process. He even offered to run with us sometimes. But you guys, it was good for our church. It was good for this body of believers right here. But it was also life-changing for over 2,000 people in Congo because we were able to raise the funds to bring them clean water. And so I want to share a little bit about what God has done and continues to do and impact after that first yes. When I said yes to him, what did he do last year? And so as you know, or maybe you have heard, my family and I had an opportunity to travel for a month to Fiji. And when I say Fiji, some of you might be imagining a beautiful tropical island with swimsuits and pineapples. But that isn't exactly the experience that we had. We were more of a local villager experience. And while I was planning the trip, I really had no idea the significance that it would take and be in my journey. But that's sometimes how God does things. I now realize that everything that my family learned, everything that we were exposed to last year, was preparing us for what we would experience in Fiji. You see, Fiji, like Africa, water is life. Water is life there because people do not have clean water. Our little island that we were on did have a well, but it wasn't clean or safe. The first week we were there, we actually didn't even go down to the well because there was wasps along the trail, and it was dangerous for us to go down. Thankfully, our friend killed those wasps, and then we were able to go down. And there's a picture of it there. That's the well. Where that stick is sticking out is actually where the water itself is. But the water isn't drinkable in this well. Our Fijian friends knew this, and they didn't drink the water either. But they did cook with it, and they washed in it, and they washed their clothes in it. And you can imagine washing in dirty water when you have a cut or a scab or a bug bite isn't always a good thing. But the majority of the folks in the villages actually don't drink well water like this. They drink rainwater. And it is certainly cleaner than the well. It's obviously not something that we would drink. We had the opportunity a couple times to celebrate in the villages, and so I drank the rainwater two times, and two times I was sick the next day. So, like many, we actually hauled our water from town while we were there. And being on an island, hauling water from town involved getting in a boat and driving 20 minutes with your boat, with flour sacks full of plastic bottles that you would fill up, and large jugs that we'd fill up by boat. In Lavuka, which was the nearest access point for water for where we were. So we actually set our days and kind of our schedule by when we would go to town because we would look at our water sitting on the shelf and we'd say, oh, we only have 3 bottles left or 6 liters left. It's time to go to town tomorrow. That's kind of how we set our schedule. And we thought about rain and we thought about water a lot. It was actually something that ends up consuming a lot of your thoughts when it's something that you are limited to. That's not something that we deal with here in the United States. Actually, we live on a well here, and conserving water isn't really a thing here. My water, yeah, it'd be good for me to turn off the faucet and things like that, but my well is never going to run out. And so we worried about when it didn't rain for a week, we worried about our rain barrels getting low. We were actually thankful for rain when it happened, which is not something we're usually thankful for here, because we have lots of water here. We washed our clothes by hand. We showered with buckets and cups. It's amazing what a good wash you can get with 2 liters, folks. Not something we're used to. And you could say that we were living kind of the simple life when we were there, because in many ways it was much more simple than it is here. But simple is not easy. That's a picture of Ellie doing the wash. The first time I did the wash in Fiji, it took me 4.5 hours to do the wash, and it took me about a half of a drum of rain water to do that. And by the end, I was down to like 30 minutes, and I could do it with 3 2.5-gallon buckets. I could finish all of our wash. Now, I'd smell things and put them back on the shelf because it wasn't worth the rainwater that we were wasting. But it was not simple because it was hard. It was very hard. And so we came back, and I knew that, you know, I mean, again, it was this lens that we viewed the entire experience through, was everything that we had learned last year. And so it really, you know, it's just one of those things you think about. It was an amazing experience. I wouldn't take it back. It was so awesome for us to experience it with our kids. But there was a different lens. It wasn't a vacation that I expected it to be. And so I was sharing these stories with my mom when we got home. We had an opportunity to visit about it. And then God added a whole new lens on top. And this is one that I'm actually still trying to grasp what it means and what I can do with it for God's glory. And so as I'm sharing with her, she is beginning to cry. And if you have met my mom, you know this is not something that's unusual for her to cry. But as she's crying, I'm also crying because my family actually has its own clean water story. And so I wanted to share that with you to bring it home that this isn't just something in Congo that we think about. This is something that people experience right here as well. So until I was 8 years old, my mom was a single mom. There was four of us, and she was a single mom trying to make ends meet. And we had lived here in North Bend, if you guys are familiar with the Circle River neighborhood, and we were poor. We were a very poor family with limited resources or no resources. And when I was born, my family lived in a house on a friend's property. And my mom, like many families, many moms in Fiji and Africa, washed our clothes in the Snoqualmie Valley River. And she hauled water from the river to boil so that we could drink it. Being a mom of two with so many amenities that we have in my house, I can't imagine doing this for my kids. But this is something that people do on the regular in other places. And so when I was two, we actually moved into a new house, which is the house that Tom and I actually live in now, which is one of those cool God things as well. But the house didn't have plumbing, and it didn't have running water. Outhouses are a real thing that nobody wants to experience. But a difference between this house that we moved into and the house that we were in before was that this one had an access point. It had a well. Now, the well was on the property, and there was an access point above it, but there was no running water in the house and no plumbing in the house. So obviously, it just changes the way you do life, but that access point allowed for so much more. Instead of spending hours hauling water to and from the river, my mom was able to go to a spigot in the backyard, and we were able to take baths back there instead of in the river, and it really was a game changer for our family. And this is part of my clean water story because God is so good. He protected our family from so many different things. While I do know what Giardia is, and some of you might not know what that is, it is a waterborne illness that you can get here right in the Snoqualmie Valley. That's something that I did experience, but I've been able to see this, how what God is doing in my life and in the life of this church in a totally unique way. My mom eventually, so again, when we were eight, is when we got water in our home, plumbing in our home, and a little bit of our family story. My mom's an amazing woman. My stepdad is an amazing man, and he's one of the reasons why we have had that access. He added it to our house, which is pretty cool. He saved our lives in a lot of ways. So life without water, you guys, is not a simple life. It's complicated. It's full of fear, it's full of worry, and man, is it full of stress. It is something that you think about all the time. It's time-consuming, and there's no time to do much else than just the activities of daily living. That's all you can do is think about that. Boiling your water, fetching the water, washing your clothes, doing those things. It's all you think about. And while God is still weaving together this story in my life, again, it's like, he's wrecking me, you guys. He really is just wrecking me with his goodness and all the things that he's able to do. He's wrecking me with memories of my childhood, but also challenging me to do more. He's challenging me to do more. He gave me an opportunity to say yes last year. Man, I didn't want to say yes, but he's continuing to give me opportunities to say yes. And so this year, my yes is even beyond what I could ever imagine. And I said in the first service, and I'm just as nervous to say it in this service because of all of you guys are here to hold me accountable. I am going to be extending my training season into October this year to participate in a full marathon. And I hate to run. And I think it's a waste of time. But my time is worth life. My time is worth life that we can give to people who don't have life because they don't have access to water. And while this is certainly something I don't want to do, it is something that I can do. And when I say, I can't, I won't, I don't want to, God's response is, you are, you will, let's do this. In Matthew 25, he says, Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We have an opportunity to stand with God and join him in his mission. Paul reminds us in Philippians that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. That's true. We can do all things through him. And so today I want to invite you guys into a couple of different things. Yes, the first thing I want to invite you to is to join the team. Join the team in whatever capacity you are able to join the team in. I want you to say yes to training with us, being a part of the community, the team that it is, but I also want to say thank you for already being part of the team by being part of this church. I want to say thank you that we are able to be a church that cares for our world, that we are a place where we can come together to change the world and change lives. That is awesome. We're going to hear from Drew in a little bit. Drew Williams, our missionary. You guys, we support him and his work in Alaska, and it's doing amazing things, amazing kingdom things in Alaska. We get to do that as a church. So cool. Thank you for challenging and standing against slavery and human trafficking this past December with International Justice Mission. Man, this church is doing awesome things for God. I wanted to just highlight a couple things because we're talking about clean water, and specifically we're talking about clean water in Congo. We might hear Congo a little bit here at Cascade because we have a variety of partnerships in that country that allow us to really be boots on the ground making an impact. We actually sponsor 2 medical clinics in Congo, if you didn't know that, through Paul Carlson Partnership. And over the past 3 years, we're in our 4th year right now, over the past 3 years, we've brought solar power to those clinics. We've brought refrigeration to those clinics, and this year they're working on clean water. And we don't even think about it, but refrigeration, when you have electricity, you can have refrigeration, and if you have refrigeration, you can have immunizations. And so this year alone, or last year, they immunized 50,000 kids in Congo because of the work of Paul Carlson. That's amazing. That's amazing to think about. There's momentum that's building in the covenant right now and in Congo that there is change. Exponential growth is happening in places like Congo because of churches like us that are willing to say yes to God. We've sponsored over 100 kids as a church in Congo, in the province there. And Team World Vision, the work that we do, the runs that we run, help those people too. Help those same kids in similar communities. As of June 2017, which doesn't even include the funds that we raised last year, 40,000 more people gained access to clean water in Congo. 40,000 lives were impacted. They gained access. Now, that's 84 access points, 84 faucets. So again, you know, when I was growing up, we had an access point on our property, right? That's an access point that multiple people can go to. 84 faucets were added, impacting thousands of people. I cannot wait to see what God is going to do through Team World Vision and our partnership this year with them. It's amazing to think about what he does in our individual lives and the impact that he makes, the impact that he made on me. But it's even more amazing to think about what he's able to do through us in his world for his people. It's pretty awesome. Pray with me. Father God, thank you again for this time. Thank you for this church. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this space and this community of believers. Thank you that we can come together and we can worship you, Father. We can love you and love your people. God, I pray that you would inspire us and you would challenge us to try new things this year. But God, I just pray that your story would be our story and that we could enter into it. Thank you so much for this time. It's in your son's name that we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to invite up Pastor Dan.
Well, thank you, Lindsay. This is a cool opportunity that we have to talk to Drew, and it's actually been, you were back through this summer, I think, we had a little barbecue, salmon barbecue at the Gillespie's house, but not all of us got to see you then, so thank you for stopping by on your way back to Western Alaska. And at the first service, we'll do the same thing again. If you could just tell us a little bit about clean water or how, because this isn't just in Africa. It's not. It's in the Snoqualmie Valley. It's definitely, clean water is an issue in Western Alaska. So tell us about that and how this relates to you guys.
Yeah, so water is definitely a challenge, especially when your entire world is frozen for 6 to 8 months out of the year.
Yeah.
It changes things a little bit, and you dig a lot more holes than you're used to. and not everybody has access points, as Lindsay said. Every village has one, for the most part. And in Scammon Bay, where I live, about two-thirds of the homes have running water availability. Not all the homes can afford the utility. When we moved to Scammon Bay, it was about half of the homes had running water. And in the area, we're actually very, very lucky because we have a stream that runs right through the middle of town that has potable water. You can drink the water right out of the stream. And not every village has that. Most of them, like I said, have an access point in what they call a washateria, which basically has a fire hose that comes out of the side of the building and you can go and get it any time. And so in our surrounding area, even, like, south of us is the biggest village in Western Alaska, which is gigantic. It has 1,200 people. I know so many people, right? And they got running water for the first time in their homes last summer. Wow. It was the first time anyone had had running water. So it's definitely a challenge.
So do people get sick? Like, are there those challenges as well?
There are those challenges, but there's a long history of drinking bad water,
yeah.
Which gives your body time to adjust, time to adapt. So if you're white like me, you're going to get a lot more sick than my Yupik neighbor is, especially your first year living out there.
Wow. Well, kind of changing the subject a little bit, this last year has been kind of a fun year for you and some of the work that you've been doing, because you've started to build a wood shop, and Drew works with the youth in the area, so a lot of contact with students and with kids in high school age on down to, is it mostly middle school and high school students?
In the village, it's mostly middle school and high school kids with me, but we at Kayak have what we call our continuum of care, where we meet kids in third grade at Bible camp, and we have a system in place to walk with them day to day, week to week, until they're about 30. Kind of moving from, you go from here, and when you move on to the next place, we have people for you who are there.
Yeah, so. Okay. So tell us what you've done this last year.
Yeah, so last summer, or really last school year, actually you guys helped participate on Barn Raising Sunday, was it 2 years ago, helping to fix the parsonage in Scammon Bay, which was much, 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 much needed. So thank you so much for giving Pastor Jason a decent place to live that isn't drafty or sideways or falling over anymore. But when that... all the materials came up, they came up in shipping containers on barges. They get put on barges in Seattle, they go to Nome, they get put on different barges that are shallower, and then they come to our house in Scammon Bay. And normally they take those shipping containers back when the projects are done, but there was one that was left over with some insulation and some different materials, and basically all the leftovers that were still there as the project changed and as things kind of shifted, and you know, there's always leftover. And so there was one shipping container left, so I contacted the company that owned it and said, hi, I work and live in Scammon Bay. I would like to do woodworking projects with youth in our village. Can I buy your shipping container? And he said, sure. I would love for you to buy our shipping container. And it was great. He was really, really awesome about it. So we spent a long time figuring out, okay, we have the shipping container. Now what? what do we do with it? How do we do this? So we got a bunch of dirt from the city, and we got the community really backed us up in a huge way of giving us dirt and services and different things. And so now that shipping container lives right outside my house. And I flew my dad up last summer, and we spent about a month and a half converting it into a wood shop, building workbenches and running power out to it and making it just functional for a wood shop. And since September-ish, we have been doing projects with kids in our wood shop. And the whole dream came about through an interaction I had with a student who's really not even all that involved. He's getting more involved now that he's getting older. But his name is Ryle, and he's the son of a friend of mine. And I have chickens in Scammon Bay, which is a whole other adventure and a whole mess of stories. But I was doing some work on my chicken coop, and I wanted to hang some new perches, which is basically a stick with some wires in it. It's very complicated. And I was figuring out how to put them in to this chicken coop, and I just saw Ryle. I didn't call him. I didn't ask specifically for his help. He was just there. And I said, hey, can you, you know, hold this thing and stand there and be a human that I can have help me? You know? And he did that, and I didn't even think much of it. And, you know, he went on his merry way, and my chickens are still learning how to use that perch. His dad stopped me in the street the next day and said, at dinner, we talk about what happened during our day with our children. And Ryle could not wait to talk about how he got to help out, how he got to help you build this thing today. And he was so excited to help you with that. And in my mind, I'm like, it's a stick with wires in it. But there is such a desire in our students to do things with their hands and to create things and to be able to take something and turn it into something else and say, look at this thing that I did. And it's so incredibly empowering to our students who often feel forgotten, often feel like they don't have a lot of equitable skills, especially if you're a non-academic kid and a non-sports ball kid. Then there's really nothing for you. And so our wood shop is a way for us to help kids reclaim that piece of their identity, especially that piece of their cultural identity, as old ways are dying off. And, you know, there aren't as many carvers, there aren't as many woodworkers, there aren't as many crafters, basket weavers, all these things. And we want to change that. Our kids have incredible talent, and they have no idea. So it's been a cool journey to see as we do that. And we've mostly been doing knife making with 14 and 15-year-olds.
Picture we can put up here.
Yeah. So that's a few of the things that we made. The metal is from antique hand saws that we cut up with tin snips. And we mill all of the wood ourselves. We either get driftwood or we buy. We go and cut down alder willows, which grow on our mountain. And then we put them together. The pins in the, they're called ulochs or ulus. The pins in them are actually the pins from the handsaws that we repurpose. And it's been very successful. They do the lion's share of the work. I do the finish, kind of the finish work, but they do most of it. And it's been to watch a kid's face when they make something, when they've never been able to do that before, and you can look at that kid and said, you know, God creates. We're in Genesis right now. Mm-hmm. You know, God is a creator. We are in the image of God. You are a creator. Look at the things that you can do with the hands that God gave you. Is a very, very cool experience. So.
Well, thank you so much for stopping by and for all the work that you do with youth in Scammon Bay and the area. Can we pray for you before you sit down?
Yeah.
Oh, and I almost forgot. So the first service you said, antique hand saws mm-hmm. are things that you need mm-hmm. because the steel is different than the ones that we buy at Home Depot now.
Yeah.
And then what was the other?
The other one is circular saw blades. Again, we're mostly doing knife making and we're coming up with some creative ideas on how to repurpose metal, used metal and things. We actually had a huge response from some people who are in construction from the first service. But we're also looking for just knowledge, because I may have a wood shop, but I am only a pretend woodworker. And so if there are any real woodworkers in the building, I would love to chat with you and get ideas. Or if you find stuff on Pinterest, where real Americans get their ideas.
That's right.
I'm on there too, always searching for stuff. So, yeah. Awesome. And as we're praying, I didn't do this first service, but there is a student of ours. She's actually my neighbor. And she is in Dornbecker Hospital in Oregon with leukemia right now. So we can also just take a minute and pray for Macy. She'll be there for a while. She's waiting for a blood transfusion bone marrow transplant. If we could pray for that as well.
Definitely. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for Drew and just the call that you placed on his life, and for Holly too. That is a faraway place, and they've been there for a few years now, and I know it feels like home to them. So thank you for doing that. Won't you continue to bless them there and to bless the work that they do there, and the Alaskan people of Scammon Bay and Hooper Bay and that whole area, Lord, whether it's through woodworking or metal crafting or whatever this shipping container can turn into, Lord. We just pray that would continue, that it would only pick up steam, that kids that maybe aren't blessed academically or don't feel blessed athletically, that they would find a source of creativity, or even if they are academic and athletic, that this would be an outlet, Lord, that you could affirm in them some good and wonderful things. And so we just ask your blessing upon all that. And especially, we want to lift up Macy to you, as that is so scary. Won't you raise up a donor, Lord, that would be a match for her, both for the blood and also for the bone marrow. And we just ask that you would eradicate that cancer, that it would just simply go away and not come back. And so give her strength and be with her family as well, as I'm sure they're so worried about her. And we ask both of these things, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Thank you. Well, I want to turn the page here to communion. And so, parents, if you want to, I remember. If you want to head back and get your students, some of them are coming in. So find your seat, and we will begin together. Well, it's our privilege to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and all who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and desire to follow him as the leader of their life, you are invited to this table. And come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not to make a statement about how righteous or religious you may feel, but to state that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire his presence. So in preparation of our meal together, let us confess our sins. And I have a new prayer for us that I'd like for us to recite together in unison. And so together we will pray. Almighty God, my heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all our offenses and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And we'll continue on in a spirit of prayer, praying the Lord's Prayer as he taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, those of you that will be helping to serve communion, I'll invite you down right now. And just how this works is, in a moment, I'll invite you forward. And you can stand in line, take one of the wafers, dip it into the cup, and then eat that together. Please hear the words of institution. On the night he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Please join me in prayer. Lord, we come before you this morning, and as broken as we are, as maybe even defeated and discouraged, we come before you and we ask that you would fill us by your Spirit's presence, Lord. Be in our life. And we worship you this day through our actions, through the words that we sing, through the testimony that we hear of how you're at work in clean water in Africa and even in Alaska, the work that Drew does there, Lord. You change our lives. We are so thankful for that. So as we come together as a community to celebrate our communion that we have with you, we humbly ask your forgiveness and we give you our thanks. We pray this in your name. Amen. So come forward, eat, and drink. Well, it's a full morning, and for those of you that want to stick around for the meeting afterwards, because you're interested in running, or you're interested in walking, or you're interested even in rolling through the 6K, those are all options open for you, or if you're just simply going to be a donor, however you decide to be involved, great things are happening. And, you know, I feel like I need to say, the reason we do this, as wonderful it is, as it is, the reason we do this as Christians is because God has changed us. And life isn't just about me, myself, and I anymore. It's about opening my eyes to the wider world around me and seeing where God is at work and asking him, how can you use me to bless others? Because you've changed my life, you've changed my heart. And that's what faith in Jesus is all about. It's not just about canceling our sins and living forever, as great as that is. It's living the resurrection life right now, that God has given us a purpose and a joy in this life. And we get to live that together. So please stand for our benediction this morning. It comes from Numbers 6, verses 24 through 26. This is going to be kind of our rhythm here throughout our time with Immerse. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. See you next week.